This show is brought to you by Carbonite Backup Service and GoTo Assist Express. It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 369. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Everybody, welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me any question or suggestions for future show topics. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450. And that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. Don't forget the wiki, which is mtswiki.com. There you will find links to all of the past shows. And you'll be able to click on the link and get to the archive of that show and the show notes for that show. Really appreciate the hard work that goes into the assembly of the wiki. And that, of course, is Citizen X. And I thank her so very much for doing that. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow. And you can send me a friend request for Facebook. And that's facebook.com/MikeTechShow. I have a very specific topic for tonight's show. A new client checklist. What this is for, if you get a new client, a list of things you should be thinking about. Now, of course, this is my checklist. It's at least a starting point for you if you're bringing on a new client. Some things you'll be able to do, some things you won't, but it's to give you a very specific idea of what you should be doing when you get a new client. And a lot of these things, I hope, will open you up to thinking maybe you're not doing all these things and there's something that you've missed or there's something you could be doing that's going to be of great value to your client, which if it's value to your client, it's going to make you more valuable. And that's what is the purpose of this show. Before we get started, I have a few just administrative things I want to take care of and a few announcements. Continue to email me your tech legal questions. Got a couple great questions on starting a business, things you should be doing, things you shouldn't, where if you had an attorney and you could ask him a question and it's surrounded about business related or tech related, this is your chance because at the end of the month, a friend of mine, Josh, is going to be answering those questions on a special Mike Tech Show on a Saturday. So get your questions in so I can feed them to Josh so he can start working and compiling answers. Email them to me at miketechshow@gmail.com. There are two events coming up where I am speaking. One is the Princeton Users Group meeting on August 23rd. Link will be in the show notes. Then on September 6th, I will be talking at the Computer Learning Center of Ewing, New Jersey. Clark PC actually in the chat runs the Princeton Users Group, so I'm looking forward to that. That topic will be more backup-centric, where the Ewing, New Jersey topic is going to be more general utilities, general functionality in helping you with your computer. If you are in the area of either one of these events, please come by, say hello. I would really enjoy seeing you. One last thing, the advertising survey. It's only a few questions, and I've gotten some surprising results, at least for me, that I'm going to share with everybody after we get a few more surveys taken. So if you haven't taken the survey, it's only a couple questions. Just click on the link to take the survey and it helps me position my show to better attract advertising based on these the answers to those questions to get the demographics of my listener base. So very important, and I appreciate your help on that. All the answers, it's all anonymous. Carbonite Online Backup protects your pictures and your other computer files by automatically backing them up whenever you're online. When you have your inevitable disaster, Carbonite makes it easy to get your backed up files back with just a few clicks. With Carbonite, you can access your backed up files privately from any computer or on your smartphone or iPad with a free app. Unlimited backup for your PC or Mac with anytime, anywhere access is only $59 a year. That's less than $5 a month. And it's easy to get started. It only takes a few minutes. And you can start your free 15-day trial at Carbonite.com. Use the offer code TPN and you get 2 additional months if you decide to buy Carbonite. So that's TPN for the offer code to get 2 free months. The checklist that I am reviewing here on the show, I will publish as a PDF download. The link will be in the show notes. So it's going to be an outline of everything I'm talking about. I started thinking about this as I was preparing for the show. I have a checklist after someone becomes a client, but I thought of something that a lot of you may or may not have, and that is a consulting agreement with your client. So this is where you would begin. What is a consulting agreement? Well, the first thing that you should be doing is having a contract with your client. And in that contract, you want to cover the following areas. And they don't have to be long, exorbitant pages. I mean, my consulting agreement's only a couple pages, but it covers the scope of work, compensation, relationship to parties, the duration of the agreement, liability and indemnification. This is where I really need Josh for that section. And then assignment. What is assignment? We'll talk about that. First, the scope of work. Actually, even before the scope of work, I have this agreement of services, hereinafter referred to as agreement, is entered into this day, and then I have the date between me and the name of the company, and in consideration of the mutual promises set forth herein. It is agreed by and between, and I have my company name and the client's name. The scope of work varies from client to client, but most of my clients, if they have a server, there will be a section that is weekly server maintenance. That is to examine the server event logs for any errors and apply corrections as necessary, review backup logs, apply operating system and software updates and patches as required. So I have that standard paragraph in every agreement for any client that has a server. Now, other things for like workstations, you can have quarterly workstation maintenance that you'll scan the hard drive for errors, run detailed diagnostics, on and on. And then you can have more specific sections as you agree with your client, maybe maintaining their backups, doing whatever you've agreed to. I put a section in there, assist with any technology projects or computer support as needed. So that's a nice catch-all. Makes every client very happy to see that sentence. Now, the next section, compensation. This is where you are very specific. I put in there what the quarterly rate will be for the services outlined in the scope of work. Then I also put in there if anything falls outside of the scope of work or there's additional hours that's incurred, what is the hourly rate? How many days do I expect to be paid when I present them with an invoice? This is where you nail down. Is it net 15, net 30? This is where you want to be very specific so you can refer back to this if you ever had to. I also put in there if there's going to be any travel time that's going to be assessed. Expenses, these are things that you need to cover for compensation. Relationship of parties. This is where I mentioned that my company shall perform the services hereunder as an independent contractor in providing high quality work product that meets or exceeds industry standards. It is further understood that my company is free to subcontract with other entities or persons while performing under this agreement. So I can now bring in someone to help me out, or my business starts to really take off and pick up, it's not going to be me. It could be someone else that I can bring in. Now, the duration of the agreement, this is where you want to state that you can terminate the agreement, any party, by giving 30 days notice, something like that. That would be in that section. This is the tough one. The liability indemnification. That is a paragraph that gets me off the hook if there's any problems. They can't sue me. They can't come after me if there's any kind of problem or issue. But that paragraph right there, I am definitely, my question to Josh is going to be, how good is that? Will that stand up, that little agreement? What if there is a serious issue and there's data loss or there's a problem? Can I come back to that little paragraph there that was signed off on? Or are there other, I guess, avenues that a client can take that they can come after me? So there's a couple things there that need an attorney to be able to address. And that's something that I will cover that paragraph alone in more detail at the end of the month when I have the attorney, Josh, as a guest. Now, final section, assignment. This agreement and the performance of services hereunder shall not be assigned nor delegated by either party without the prior written approval to the other. So, prior written approval of the other. And then I have in there, in witness whereof the parties hereby have executed this agreement, this day and the date, and then I have a section for signatures. This agreement is signed, two copies. I keep one and my client keeps one. I do not do business where I have a client on retainer if we do not have a signed agreement. So very, very important. So that's number one on the checklist. Number two, very important, passwords. One of the first things when I am on site, and even sometimes prior to me coming on site for the first time, I have a discussion with whoever I'm reporting to. Is it the owner of the business? Is it the CFO? Whoever it is, passwords. And this is what you need. You need passwords, the server administrator, obviously, the admin account. What about the workstation, the local admin account of the workstations? Is that the same password on all those workstations, or is there one generic one that's been used? You're going to need that. Firewall password. What if they have a firewall? And that is something that's important. Great question by Reliant in the chat. Was there ever a case where you didn't have a password? Absolutely. And I've had to pull out ERD Commander and reset the administrator password. Or I've had to call the manufacturer of a device or appliance, which we're going to get into. They might have a backdoor password, or how can I reset the device to get the password? But you got to be careful of configurations. So I have been in a hostile environment where they have fired the IT person and I've had to take over the responsibilities where they didn't have all the passwords for everything. So we had to hunt them down and work hard to get them. So I've been in both scenarios I've had to deal with. But very good question. Is there a VPN device? Going to need the passwords and what the keyword that's used for connecting up to the VPN. Now I have kind of a catch-all category, all other network appliances. A lot of small businesses, you won't run into these appliances, but you can. How about load balancing, like an F5 device, or Bluecoat proxy server? Again, devices that have administrator passwords that you will need access to. Any intrusion detection device or intrusion prevention. So IDS, IPS appliances. You're going to need the password. Switches. Manage switches. There are passwords for the admin account for logging in and managing those switches. Network printer administration. Sometimes network printers, they will set the password to not be the default. Sometimes they won't. I've run into both scenarios. You would be lucky if they already have a service agreement with the printer supplier, the company that supplied and maintains and manages the printers. Then you don't have to worry. You usually can get that password from them. They manage that password. Software. Don't forget about passwords to software. And you're like, what? Well, what about antivirus? Symantec has a password. Can't tell you how many times. What a pain when you don't have that password for administrating the Symantec endpoint protection. How about hardware management? There are programs like within HP servers where you have the hardware management software that may not be reading the domain admin account, may have a very specific password set for it. It depends on how it was configured, how it was set up. You may need the password for that. These are all things that you have to have a list of that you got to work with your client to get these passwords. Phone system. May or may not need that. Depends what you're going to be supporting and how that interfaces with the network. Website hosting, their DNS. I'm like 50-50 on this. Half my clients had it, half of them didn't, where we had to do some serious legwork and getting the password reset. What am I talking about? Their domain name, where is it registered? Because that's where you may need to change an MX record. You may need to create a C name, an A record. Wherever their DNS is being managed externally, you need the password for their hosting. Maybe they are hosting there. Maybe they're not. Maybe it's just, it's GoDaddy. It's wherever it is, you need to find that out. And that's easy. You can discover the hosting and who owns it by just going online and doing some searches. Whois.sc. There's lots of great sites where you can find the information. And then once you query that, you can go back and say, oh, by the way, it's GoDaddy that's hosting it. The domain, what's the password? They may not even know, but they could search their emails and they probably have it sitting somewheres. Or is it in the previous IT person? You know, you're very lucky, and I never see this, where all of this is managed and set up, already documented for the client. But guess what? When I'm done, it is. And it's in a file that we set a password to that file. So it's a password protecting a document that has all of the passwords. Very important that you and the person you report to at the client, that you've agreed on that password. Let's get into the next section. Hardware inventory. This is where you want to find out all of the hardware that's involved with your client. Workstations, servers, firewalls, network appliances, printers. You want to get it all. So you want to do a walkthrough, get a visual, start writing down model numbers, start getting everything together, but kind of get an idea of the hardware inventory. The next section is maintenance and support contracts. You need to get a copy of all contracts and vendor contact information. Let's say they're all Dell workstations. You want to make sure that all of those Dell workstations are under Dell support contract. This is very, very important. You want to know that you have a place to go to get these things repaired, or it's going to be on you to get them repaired. So it's very, very important. Hardware contracts for support for the servers. If you are taking on the responsibility of servers, they're HP or Dell, boy, you really hope that they are under some kind of a hardware maintenance agreement, because if you run into a problem, they will help you on the phone, but that's it. No labor, no parts are covered. Some clients may or may not know whether they even have maintenance contracts on this. So you take the serial number and you run it by HP online to see if there's coverage. Dell, you got it really easy. It's the tag number and it'll tell you right away. So how do you get this information? For the Dell tag numbers and the serial numbers, there is a program that I cannot live without, and it's called SIW. And SIW performs a detailed system inventory and analysis of the hardware that you're running this utility on. SIW, I bought the technician's license, and I think it's like $69 for lifetime upgrades of free updates. This is the greatest program that I've ever put on my USB stick. I go into a client, and sometimes this doesn't happen the first day, but we schedule it. And this we schedule as quickly as possible, where I run the SIW analysis on every piece of hardware that I can. Now, this is computers only. Every PC, every server, and I generate an HTML report that I save on my USB stick. What does SIW give us? For the software information, you get the operating system, software licenses, product keys, serial numbers, and CD key. You get installed software, hotfixes, processes, services, users, open files, system uptime, installed codecs, password recovery, and server configuration. This is everything you get for the software information. For hardware information, you get the motherboard, all the details, CPU, sensors, BIOS, chipset, PCI or AGP, USB, ISA, plug-and-play devices, memory, video card, monitor, disk drives, CD-DVD devices, SCSI devices, smart ports, and printers. You get all this detail, everything you ever wanted to know. And someone in the chat said it's like BellArc. Well, yes, BellArc does about 1/100th of what SIW does. When you look at the report that BellArc gives versus the report that you get from SIW, you will never use BellArc again. Network information. You get network cards, network shares, currently active network connections, and open ports. The point is, you need to use something to get most of this information recorded so you can review it. Before we continue, I want to mention GoToAssist Express. There are two things IT professionals and their clients have in common, and it goes along with what we're talking about tonight. They want the job done right, and you want it done fast. So how about for your new clients, how are you going to remote in and take care of them when there's a problem? GoToAssist Express allows you to access, diagnose, and resolve problems remotely. And you can try GoToAssist Express free for 30 days. But you have to visit GoToAssist.com/podcast to see how you can deliver live tech support to anyone, anywhere with GoToAssist Express. For remote access, you need GoToAssist Express or LogMeIn. One of the things that's on my list here is remote access. It is very important that you set up remote access to every computer every system that you are supporting. With remote access, you've now positioned yourself with all the passwords, with all the contract information. You are now armed with enough information to start doing an analysis and report for recommendations. While you're putting this together, you need to have a discussion with the client. Are they experiencing any problems right now? What's at the top of their list? Because whatever you find, I assure you, they already have some things in mind and problems. That's why you got them as a new client. So make sure that you understand if they have any current pains, what are they? And you attack them while you're visiting those systems and doing your analysis. Be thinking of those pain points that the client has brought up to try to get them resolved quickly. So you want to attack what is priority and hot to the client, because you may be bringing up more things that you find from your analysis. One of the things I find is often updates aren't done. Once I see all of the updates for the servers, or there's too little disk space left on the server, so we got to start freeing up disk space. There's so many things that when you get the report back and you start taking a look at the detail, this is what's going on. Which brings me to the next section. Examine all logs. If you have a server, you need to examine the server event, application, and system logs. You also need, for any hardware monitoring software like HP and Dell, Dell OpenManage on Dell servers, what is the hardware reporting for problems? This is where I discovered with a client, they had two hardware issues that were being alerted in the hardware logs that no one was checking. Because these are things that you want to check every week on a server. I have a checklist for all my clients. And every week, I have 5-6 things that I check on every server that's under my care. And I make sure, disk space, vent logs. This is how you stay proactive. Now, you need to check other network appliances. There are probably logs of some sort on the different network appliances that may be on site that have an event log monitor or something that relates to that hardware that could be saying what's going on. Maybe it's just CPU utilization or performance, but lots of these appliances, network appliances, have built-in logs that you can check. They, again, should be on your checklist, and they should be regularly checked. You need to review all the data that you collected that we talked about and put together a report for recommendations. An example, I have a client that when I went in, they had some fairly old workstations and a server. You could tell they haven't had work for a while on them, meaning, you know, there's been no care and feeding. They were XP workstations where a lot of them had Service Pack 2 only. They didn't even have Service Pack 3. They had one workstation that had major, major problems. That was their trouble point. I attacked that first and resolved all the issues. As I went through and I did my analysis, I presented them a report with recommendations on what they should be doing for each workstation. And then, of course, a backup recommendation for the server. One of the laptops only had a gig. Certainly, it was fine, but performance could be a lot better with 2 or 3 gigabytes. It was XP. For $33, we added a gig of memory. Very inexpensive, very easy to do, and yet increased performance significantly for them. There were some other hardware recommendations that I made based on analyzing the HTML report that SIW provided me. I summarized everything, my recommendations, sent that. Then we had a follow-up phone call, and it was great. where we started scheduling what would be done first, second, third. We prioritized all of my recommendations and put a schedule together as to when they would be completed. And under my contract, as you know, we contracted X amount of hours per month. And as part of that, some of it's just weekly maintenance. Others are attacking this list that we prioritized. And that's what you want to do. So the last two items here are review all the data collected and produce an initial report with recommendations. And then finally, meet with your client to review the report and prioritize all of the issues. That's the final item. So you have the important issues, the pain points that your client has identified first. You got to address them. Now you prioritize all your other recommendations that you've got through your analysis. This is my checklist when I have a new client. This is exactly what I go through. And then we move on into the relationship of supporting them. And not until then. So this all has to happen. It's a lot of work and it consumes hours. So here's one of the things I recommend. And I offer this to clients. Since this is a lot of work, if we have an agreement for, let's say, 3 hours a month, if I'm going to spend 5 or 6 hours doing this, we're going to kill 2 months. So with a lot of new clients, I describe briefly what my analysis entails. And I kind of guess, based on how many systems they have, at how long this will take. And I suggest that I invoice them separately for the initial analysis and report, so we don't chew up all of our consulting hours in the first quarter by me doing my initial analysis. Some clients elect to do that. Others I've had where they say, well, let's see how long it takes. And let's say it only took me 4 hours and we have something 4 hours a month. They say, let's let that go and let's build it into the normal contract. And I'm like, no problem. Others don't want me to chew that up, where I spent 6 hours on an initial analysis and tuning of all the desktops, and we only had 3 hours a month, and we didn't want to kill 2 months support. So they had me invoice them for the 6 hours up front, and then quarterly support contract of 9 hours. I encourage all my clients to get onto a support contract so they have priority access to me. If I'm on the phone with someone who is not on a retainer contract with me, no matter how small, and I get a phone call from anyone who's a retainer client, that retainer client, no matter how small, no matter how minute the problem is, they get top priority over any phone call. If I have someone that they're in a dire emergency, but they are not a retainer client, and a retainer client calls me with a problem, they stump their toe, it's something small, that gets taken care of first. That's how clients can prioritize with me, with my time. That's how they can get better response. And a question in the chat, I do support 24/7 for clients. And I bill for it. And right now, I've had this discussion with one of my sons, actually. I bill at the same rate regardless of when I'm working, whether it's a weekend, whether it's night, whether it's on the phone, or whether I'm on site. I bill the same rate. But that is not going to happen in the future. In the future, there will be a base rate, but then that's going to be between the hours of like 8 to 6. Anything outside of that, it's going to be additional rate. And if it's weekend work, Sunday work, holiday work, I will bill for that. So right now I'm billing straight time, my straight rate. I'm small. I don't want to scare anybody. I want to encourage business. I'm still building out my practice. But I will get to a point where I know I am going to have a base rate. And then if it's an emergency that takes you past, a great example, let's say my base rate is 125 an hour. Well, it might be 145 after hours, and on weekends it could be 175 an hour. Just an example of what I plan to go to down the road, which I think is very, very important. A follow-up question is, yes, I carry my phone with me all the time. I use Google Voice as the main number, and 99.99% of the time it is forwarded to my cell phone. And I keep that charged. I keep that with me at all times. When a client calls me and I'm helping them, that time is being billed against the retainer contract. Regardless of how small that question is or how big that question is, it's all billable. If I'm doing research for a client that's on retainer, that, depending on the problem, depending on the situation and how long it takes, sometimes I'm too liberal with my time and I don't bill for everything I should be. I give too much away and that gets me into trouble. And it's gotten me into trouble the past couple months where I've been doing helping and not billing for it. And I really should be. It's not fair to anyone. I know I'm giving away too much and it's starting to hurt me. And I'm going to start to change that. So it doesn't hurt me. I gotta be more firm with my time and what I'm doing. And when I'm helping someone, especially when I'm on site with someone, I gotta bill for that. How can I not? I'm only hurting myself and I'm going to be hurting my client, because you know what's going to happen? If I do that too much, I'm not going to be in business. And then I'm not going to be there for the client. I'm going to have to go back to the corporate world, start working full-time job again. And you know what? I won't be available anymore. It's actually going to hurt my clients. And if everybody can look at it that way, don't you want your support people to stay in business? You want them to be fair. You want everybody to be reasonable. And I look at that for any services I purchase. You know, you got to be reasonable. Hey, they got to make a living. You want them to continue and stay in business. That's how you have to put that to yourself. And hopefully your clients will understand that. My clients, knock wood, most of them do. One last thing, as you're buying things for clients and maybe yourself, if you purchase anything from Amazon, take a moment, go to MikeNation.net, MikeTechShow.com. Scroll down on the left-hand side of the website, you're going to see this big, long ad for Amazon. If you click on that, your prices remain the same, but I get a small commission that helps support the Mike Tech Show that you're listening to. It's like PBS. User-supported content. You want me to stay and continue? No. Help me out by definitely passing that on and using that link and spreading the word with friends, family, anybody. You hear anybody, they're buying from Amazon. Oh, wait, go to MikeTechShow.com. Click on his link first. Then go off and purchase. I really appreciate that. I do have some independent music tonight. Liz Longley, the artist I love from Philadelphia. She's just, what a wonderful voice. And we're going back to an early CD, which is titled Take You Down. And the song is Whatever Goes Up. Give a listen, and then I'll be back to wrap up.
We got on the elevator, two floors up, two floors down. We never got anywhere for lack of solid ground. He put his hand in mine, I solemnly declined and smiled back graciously. Whatever skyscrapers and roller coasters. I guess I thought one day it might finally pass over. He put his hand in mine, I solemnly declined and smiled back graciously. Whatever goes up always comes down. Isn't that the way life always works out? Whatever goes up always comes down with a crash and a burn and a cry. With a isn't that the way life always works out? Whatever goes up must come down with a crash and a burn and a cry. With a crash and a burn and a cry.
That was Liz Longley and the song Whatever Goes Up. And you can support Liz and buy her CDs from LizLongley.com. I'll have a link to her website in the show notes. I want to thank all of you for your continued support, downloading, listening to the show, spreading the word. Thank you so very much for being part of the Mike Tech Show family. I really appreciate it. And I will be back regular time next week on Thursday night at 8 o'clock live on Ustream. That's it. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.